facebook.com/muffintalk.
Out there, oh, a peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet.
Well, welcome back to Travels with Mr. Len. You sure get to travel the world, don't you, when you listen to my program? And now, today I'm going to talk to you about Argentina. So, buenos dias from Argentina. They speak Spanish in Argentina, and the native indigenous people speak Guarani. But you can get around with English. They all seem to be able to speak English. They're very intelligent and sophisticated people. Now, I've been to Argentina several times, and I've travelled the full length of the country. It's actually one of the largest, land-wise, I think it's the eighth largest country in the world. And it's got a population of about 30 million. And I've travelled from the top of the country, where I visited Foz de Iguazu, Iguazu Waterfalls, which I'll tell you something about shortly. And I've been right down through, spent a lot of time in Buenos Aires, the capital, and I've been to a glacier in Patagonia, and I've been down to Tierra del Fuego, which is right at the bottom of the world. And I've been to a town called Ushuaia, which I used to, as a stopover from New Zealand to Buenos Aires. I had a stopover in Ushuaia, and that was a great flight with Aerolíneas Argentinas because we flew across the Antarctica. And I spent the whole night watching the Antarctica, and then we landed in Ushuaia on Tierra del Fuego, right at the bottom of Argentina. And Ushuaia is the most southern town on Earth. So more about that. Now I'm going to introduce you to some music which you will immediately recognize.
They are
distance. Have I said too much? There's nothing more I can think of to say to you. But all you have to do is look at me to know that every word
isn't that lovely? I mean, Madonna certainly did a great job in her role playing the part of Evita Perón. Now, there's quite a bit about Evita Perón that we don't know. Evita was the wife of General Juan Domingo Perón, so she was first lady, and in her final years, she was his vice president. She died of cancer at the age of 33. But she made a huge impact upon Argentinian society because she had such charisma and she charmed the masses and she called the poor people the shirtless ones, and she talked to them. She did a lot to get emancipation for women, and she did a lot to raise funds for poverty campaigns. So she did a lot, and she was right there beside her husband, Juan Perón. Unfortunately, Juan Perón had bad friends. He was a good mate of Franco in Spain, Hitler in Germany, and Mussolini in Italy. We don't want to talk about that too much. But anyway, they revere Evita, and you can go and see the palace, the balcony from which she spoke. She obtained notoriety, and she became embedded in international pop culture, and she was subject to that musical Evita. And these days she's buried at the cemetery called the Recoleta Cemetery, and she's buried beneath 6 meters of concrete because her body went into exile when her husband was deposed, and her body spent some time in Italy. It spent some time in Spain. Her husband had embalmed, by the way, and then the body was returned to Argentina. And some people tried to steal it as a trophy. So it's buried beneath about 6 meters of concrete. Now, Madonna's rendition of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina has kind of put Argentina and Evita Perón on the map. But there's another type of music that Argentina is proud of, and that's the passionate, captivating and seductive tango. Now, you've got to see it to believe it. And it epitomises the city, Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires means good air, where the tango was born. Right? Now, throughout the 20th century, the tango ebbed and flowed in popularity, just as Buenos Aires has progressed and stagnated from time to time. And today, there's something of a revival with the tango, and it should be on every visitor's itinerary. I went to several tango shows. You go around to the tango bars in the evening. My favourites were the Casa Rosada on a Saturday evening, the Casa Blanco on a Sunday, and the oldest one, which teemed with atmosphere, was called Michelangelo, and you go there on a Monday. And in these bars, you don't just get a drink. They like red wine. You don't just get a drink. There's a hot, slick, sophisticated tango, and they arouse the nostalgia for the 1920s. You got to see them. The women are dressed beautiful, and the men have these black suits and white shoes, hats, and the tango is just great. Don't get invited onto the stage to try to do it, because it takes years of practice. Now, I arrived in Buenos Aires, and I took a long walk along Avenida Florida, which every day, over 1 million people leisurely promenade down Avenida Florida. And it's like a consumer showcase. It's one of the world's most elegant and sleek pedestrian walking malls, and it boasts the best, really, in every local and local and international brand names. So you've got to go there several times. So Buenos Aires is a modern and stylish city, and it has a Spanish influence, it has an Italian influence, and it has an English and a German heritage. Not many people know this, but Argentina was a Spanish colony until, I think, around the 1820s, but it had a huge influx of millions of Italians, and that's perhaps what gives it so much of a vitality and a spirit. Now, throughout the city, there's cafes, restaurants, art galleries, jeweler shops, leather boutiques. They love buying shoes. And there's thousands of temptations. The streets are full of buskers, musicians, actors, peddlers, all adding to the atmosphere. And one lovely place to go is Cafe Tortoni. And Cafe Tortoni, I went there for coffee and cakes, and nothing has changed there since it was opened in 1858. So how about that? Now, the historic heart of Buenos Aires, in fact, the historic heart of all of Argentina, is undoubtedly Plaza de Mayo, Plaza of May. Tall palm trees, colourful flower gardens, historical monuments. The national flag's lovely, blue and white stripes, and it's got a sun in the centre, and the sun has a face painted on it. Now it's also, and that plaza was surrounded by colonial buildings, and it's been the centre of many of Argentina's historical events. At the centre of the plaza stands the Pyramid de Mayo. It's an obelisk crowned by a feminine statue, and it's a symbol of the revolution, and it replaces an earlier monument, which I'm told is encased inside it. And then just beside that obelisk is an equestrian statue of General Belgrano. And General Belgrano was an independence hero, and there he is mounted on his horse looking out over the plaza. Now, the most dominant building in the plaza is the Casa Rosada, and that means the Pink House. And that's the executive mansion and the office of the President of the Republic. And it's on the balconies of the Casa Rosada that General Perón and his wife Evita used to wow the crowd with their fiery speeches. And two symbolic granaderos or grenadiers stand to attention at each side of the main entrance to the Casa Rosada. There's another granadero guards the mausoleum opposite the Casa Rosada. There's a mausoleum inside the cathedral, and it's of San Martin, who was the liberator of Argentina from the Spaniards. So quite a lot to see. You need to spend most of the day around Plaza de Mayo. Now, there's been so much history around Casa Rosado. It's every Argentinian president, they've had a lot of presidents, they came and lived there and ruled from there. Perón was, after Evita died in 1952, her husband was deposed in 1955. He went into exile in Spain. And then he made a comeback in the 1970s, but he died. And his third wife, Isabella, she became the president after the death of her husband. And she was overthrown in a military coup. She was rather incompetent, and she was overthrown in a military coup, and a helicopter took her from the roof of the Casa Rosada into exile. And I think she's still alive. And the Peronist Party that was founded by Juan Perón and his wife Evita, it's still a powerful political force in Argentina, and there have frequently been presidents from the Peronista Party. In fact, I think the current president is a Peronista, so they're still around. Now, there was one of the longest protests in human history happened outside the Casa Rosada, because for a long period, for about 10 years, Argentina was ruled by a military dictatorship, which was supported by the United States, by the way. And 30,000 Argentinians were abducted by right-wing death squads during the so-called Dirty War, when right-wing death squads were sorting out the enemies. They thought these people were enemies. So 30,000 Argentinians were abducted by these death squads, and they disappeared. So in the plaza each day used to gather the Madres de la Plaza de Mayo, or the Mothers of the Plaza, and they used to come to haunt the military regime. So they would stand there, and their aim was to bring human rights and just get an honest answer about what happened to the disappeared ones. They just wanted to know whatever happened to their children. Now, these people that disappeared, they were just opponents of the military regime. They were illegally detained, often tortured during interrogation, and then they were killed and their bodies dumped at sea. The bodies were often encased in a concrete drum, or sometimes the victims were just drugged and dropped from a plane. So 30,000 people disappeared, and the madres, the mothers, want an answer. So since 1977, they have been protesting outside the Casa Rosada, and they demand a trial and sentencing for those guilty of crimes against humanity. And some of the founder of the Mothers of the Plaza was herself kidnapped and murdered by the military, and so were two of her leading supporters. Now, these days, their mothers are very easy to identify because they wear white headscarves and the name of their missing child and their date of birth written on the white headscarf. And the white headscarf symbolised nappies worn by babies, and white signifies hope, and whereas black in Argentina signifies mourning. So it's quite a symbolic thing. And as I said, the founder of the Mothers was kidnapped, tortured and murdered herself. And two other of the founders just disappeared. Now, in 2006, the Madres announced that their enemy was no longer the government, because democracy had been returned to Argentina, and that they would only gather once a week on a Thursday to protest for human, political and civil rights throughout the world. So when I went there, there they were, and I took some pictures of them, and they were very happy, and I told them I supported what they were trying to do, and they knew I understood. Really worth seeing. Now, just recently, a new group has emerged called the Grandmothers of the Plaza, and these are women searching for children who were, this is different, they're searching for children who were seized at birth from women in detention, and those stolen babies were either given away or sold to adoptive parents. Often the adoptive parents were right-wing military people, so not the sort of people you'd want to have bringing up your children. But anyway, they're trying to track down the stolen children, and so far my research shows that 150 stolen children have been identified through DNA testing. Now, away from the protest and facing the Casa Rosada is a older building called the Cabildo, and it's been used during Spanish rule as a town hall. And it's been reduced inside, unfortunately, to extend the avenue, but so only two columns remain. Looks a bit weird. You think, what happened to the other half of the building? Now, in another part of Buenos Aires, you need more than a week in Buenos Aires, is the Colón Theatre. It was completed in 1908, and the theatre is so large that it covers an entire block of the city, and is regarded as one of the three top theatres in the world in terms of acoustics and artistic value. And this is where the most famous artists of music and opera perform, and that's where you really can get to see a damn good tango there. We took an organised tour, the only way you could explore it, and the principal auditorium rises seven stories high and can hold 3,500 people. And there's rows of balconies on either side, gilded walls, massive chandeliers, and a truly magnificent building. Now, in another part of Buenos Aires is an old district called Boca Barrio. Barrio is a name for a district, the Boca, B-O-C-A. And it's a kind of got a bohemian atmosphere, and it's the place where you should wander, and it offers an artistry of a different sort. It was built by Italian immigrants. Remember, there were millions of them. And it's wooden and corrugated iron houses. They're all painted different colours. Some of them are on stilts to avoid flooding. And they're all colourfully painted. It's all quite outlandish. And some of the materials used to build the buildings at the Bocca were taken from abandoned ships. So don't miss the Bocca. The streets are lined with noisy bars and restaurants and in artists displaying and selling their creations. So Bocca keeps alive all the traditions of music, dance, street art, and, like I said, a bohemian atmosphere. Now, I went to the Recoleta Cemetery. Now, you might think he went to a cemetery. Okay, so I've already told you that Evita Perón is buried there. But almost every type of architectural style ever seen in Buenos Aires comes together in the world-famous Recoleta Cemetery. And it's like a city in miniature. You've got to see it to believe it. It's monuments. It has temples. Poets, authors, doctors, bankers, politicians, generals are all buried here. And in the city of the dead are scaled-down pyramids, Roman and Greek temples, Gothic spires, statues. It's an absolutely extravagant place. And one of the highlights is finding the grave of Evita Perón. And her temple is marked Familia Durati, because her name was Durati before she married the ominous General Perón. Now, in another part of Argentina, in Buenos Aires, they like to remember, or they're trying to forget actually, the 1982 war with Britain over the Falkland Islands that Argentina called Isla Malvinas. Well, as you know, the military junta, the military government, was trying to take attention off the bad state of the economy, because Argentina regularly goes bankrupt and the money keeps collapsing. They decided to invade the islands, which were a British colony, and Britain's response was very swift and decisive. They weren't going to have it. They sent a naval task force and did an amphibious assault on the Falkland Islands and the South Georgia Islands, had a quick victory, and sank the Argentinian warship called the Belgrano. And so, in retaliation, the Argentinians built a museum that remembers the war, and they built a monument to the fallen in the Falkland Islands. And there was a clock tower called the Torre de los Ingles, the Tower of the English. Well, they changed the name to Tower of the Argentinians. How's that? Right. Now, for something different, I left the city. There's so much to do in Buenos Aires, but I went out into the countryside and I went to a cattle farm, and they're into gauchos, Argentinian cowboys, dressed for the occasion, were riding around on horses. They were cracking whips, lassoing cows. It was all a big show. Then we sat down to what's called an asado, which is a barbecue lunch of roast beef prepared over an open grill fire. So they cut the cow down the centre and open it up, spread it out, and barbecue it. And everybody sits around. They're great meat eaters in Argentina, I found. And they have asados in the windows of restaurants, which is very enticing. It's likely to bring you in. A lot of meat in the Argentinian diet. So if you're a vegan, don't go there. Now, people dine late in Argentina, and restaurants and sidewalk cafes are usually crowded at around about 10 p.m. So I used to go out and try and find somewhere to eat at around about 6, and I'd be the only person that opened up specialty for me. And then you go to bed early and they think, what's wrong with that guy from New Zealand? He needs to enter into the war. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about Foz de Iguazu. Foz de Iguazu is in the north of Argentina, and it's on the border of Argentina and Brazil. So it's half in each country. Now, the Iguazu means big water in the local Guarani language. Now, it's a World Heritage Site and it's surrounded by a forest. And in the forest are howler monkeys, butterflies, cicadas. Cicadas. It was 40 degrees, and I just stood at what's called the Devil's Throat, and I stood in the breeze. I stood in the spray of the water because it was the only place I could cool off. And then as I walked back to the town, billions of cicadas were singing in the trees. So it made quite a story. You can visit Foz de Iguazu by walking on boardwalks, and they go for several kilometres, and there are viewing platforms. And all told, there's 160 to 200 falls. But don't miss the Devil's Throat. That's the highlight. And you find yourself sometimes in Brazil and sometimes in Argentina, but it doesn't matter. They've good friends. Now, just down in the south of the country, a couple of the highlights was Tierra del Fuego, the Land of Fire. The island is half in Argentina and half in Chile. And as I said to you, I went there after flying across the Antarctic, and I stayed at Ushuaia, the world's most southern town, and I went there to see penguins and glaciers, and I got told off for walking on the thin ice because apparently it's quite dangerous and you can fall through. I didn't know that at the time. And also when I was in the south of Argentina in an area called Patagonia, I went to the Perito Moreno. He was an explorer glacier, and this is one of the largest glaciers in the world. It's on the side of a mountain. It covers, wait for this, it covers 250 square kilometres. 250 square kilometres of ice. And it's 30 kilometres long. So it stretches 30 kilometres up into the mountain. And at the base of the glacier is a massive lake. And you've got to stand, you've got to be careful, because every now and again some ice will break off the glacier, fall into the lake and create a mini tsunami. So don't miss out on the Perito Moreno Glacier, Tierra del Fuego, and, of course, Buenos Aires and Foz de Iguazu. There's so much to see in Argentina. It's the eighth largest country in the world in terms of land area, and heaps of variety. All right. Now, I write stories, so I wrote two books, Solly Mr. Len and Dear Mr. Len, and Argentina somehow got left out. So it'll be in my third book, which I'll tell you about at a later date. I've also got a website, www.timelesstours.co.nz, and I've got an email, lwilson62@outlook.co.nz. So if you get it, Argentina is actually one of our neighbours. And it only takes about, I think it took about 8 hours to fly from Auckland across the Antarctic to Ushuaia, and then it was about another 3 or 4 hours to Buenos Aires. And another thing, when you're in Buenos Aires, go across to Montevideo, the capital of Uruguay, and you can get another country and see another another society, and it's worth staying in Montevideo for a few days. I didn't get to go to Montevideo. I had too much to do around Buenos Aires. So that's it for Argentina. I'll say hasta la vista, which means until I see you again.
Strange when I try to explain.